Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
What a beautiful day we have in our area. Good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. It's absolutely gorgeous outside. We've got Nathan Forlina in the studio with us. Back-to-back great shows today. We've got our Black and Gold Breakdown show coming up here in a little bit. The Steelers are playing great. Are the Steelers legit? Are they Nathan, who's a more legitimate championship contender, Penn State or the Steelers?
I'd say the Steelers right now are a more legit championship contender because they've beaten teams that, I mean, the Redskins almost said it.
I almost did it.
The Commies, the Commanders, are a very, very good team.
That's a good team.
Yeah, they're a very good team. We'll see this week whenever they play the Ravens what they're really made of, getting a big divisional game. I mean, it's going to be, the winner of that has a great chance to win the AFC North, so we'll kind of see this weekend really if they are championship contenders, but I mean, Russell Wilson's playing incredible. Besides that one interception he threw, not sure what he was really looking for there. But it's a deep ball. It happens. I mean, you try to make a play on third down, I believe. So it happens. But the team looks very good. The team looks very good. And I'm telling you what, that Preston Smith move looks great. Whenever you got Alex Highsmith, probably going to be out for a little bit. So.
Do you know how good Penn State is or is not? Because I don't. I have no idea.
I don't know about them, but I do think that was a good win over Washington.
Why? Why was it a good win over Washington? Washington sucks.
I don't know if Washington sucks.
They got to go come across the country.
Yes, and I'm not saying this is
that's
why
their
gonna,
fifth loss.
It's why I'm not going to crown them a championship contender. But, I mean, when you... It's a beatdown. Granted, it's the whiteout game.
Agree.
And, I mean, they may have handled them. They really had nothing going on.
Penn State checked boxes there. They got off to a fast start. They played well. There wasn't a 10-minute lull where they looked bad.
Yeah, they scored 28 in the first half,
right.
I believe.
The issue with Penn State is always, well, where are you at in the first quarter? Why don't you start playing games until the second half? And so they did answer all of those.
They stretched the field a little bit more,
I do think Washington sucks. Again, that's they've still got Oregon. Washington's going to lose six games, and USC's already got five. So I don't know between the two which one is a more legitimate championship contender, the Steelers or Penn State. To me, it's easily the Steelers because the Steelers. I don't think the Chiefs are great. I mean, the Chiefs are undefeated.
Chiefs are beatable. That's
but
the thing.
They are
beatable.
They're in close games all the time, and you kind of get a sense that because they pull things out of their rear so often, at some point it's going to go against them.
Yeah, they're not going to go undefeated this year. I mean, something's going to
slip up. Not only
that,
but you just get the feeling like they let teams hang around with them too long. And again, a playoff situation, it can be very, very slippery slope. And the Steelers have the Ravens. We'll find out more about the Steelers.
The thing about the Chiefs is when they're back against the wall, they somehow always come out. Like, I think they might beat down the Bills. Not beat down, but I think they could win that game by, 10 this weekend because people are starting to doubt them. They played a very shaky game against that Denver team that people aren't expecting to be, anything crazy, even though Denver is in the playoff picture right now. But, I mean, they barely won that game. Then they got a big game coming up this week against the Bills. This feels like a good, Chiefs cover game because it feels like they're going to be underdogs maybe. I think it's in Buffalo, so they'll probably be underdogs if I had to guess, even though they're undefeated. So.
All right, if you want to jump in on that, which of these two teams is more of a legitimate contender? Penn State or the Steelers. I've got a good college football discussion here for you in just a second. But yesterday, one projection I saw was Penn State as a 6th seed.
I saw that same projection.
Playing Boise State. Well, give me that a billion times in a row. And in the second round, giving Miami. Give me that. I don't think Miami's any good at all. I know you're high on
Cam Ward. I'm not high on the team, though.
I don't think they're a great team. So, there's your path to the Final Four right there.
Yeah, that was one of I typed up some questions if we had time. That was one of the questions. Is Penn State going to make the Final Four? Because their path seems to be opened up
right now. But the flip side is, I saw one projection today of, I think it was from On3, on what the playoff seeding might look like tonight, or what the playoff rankings might look. Rankings are not seeding. That's a very different thing because you got some different scenarios.
They'll show the projection.
You know who they had at 10, 11, 12, which is one of the teams that Penn State could potentially play in the first round at Beaver Stadium?
You probably got Ole Miss, Georgia, those types of teams.
Alabama. Ole Miss, Georgia, Alabama.
Yeah, those SEC.
So there's your... That's your scenario.
That SEC is going to be scary because I don't want to play any of those teams.
I think
Ole Miss right now is the most underrated team in the country. I think Ole Miss is crazy. I mean, they didn't even. I'm pretty sure Trey Harris didn't even play for them. He's one of the best receivers in the country, and they still manhandled Georgia. And trust me, you don't want to get on Georgia's bad side. If Georgia can figure stuff out on the offensive line, they'll be back to the number three team in the country.
But they've got two losses already, and if they get to the SEC championship game.
You think Georgia gets in if they lose this weekend in Tennessee?
No.
You don't think so?
No. Do they get into the playoff?
Yeah.
No, not if they lose to Tennessee.
You don't think so?
But if they get to the SEC championship game and say lose to Texas, is that how it go? Could they get in? If they get a third loss in the SEC, what I'm getting at is, will the conference championship games hurt a team that's already close?
I saw this argument today. I don't think in the SEC because it's going to be tough because if BYU, this is my conversation right now, if BYU, which don't look now, Colorado might make the playoffs. So let's say Colorado's, I know you hate Deion.
I've come to understand that they've got some guys on the line of scrimmage. They had the skill dudes.
Yes.
And I promise you, I will absolutely give every single possible nod or consideration to Travis Hunter for the Heisman.
Travis Hunter should win the Heisman, in my opinion, right now.
I mean, you're talking about a superstar on both sides of the ball, the likes that we don't see at high-level college football. So, yeah, I mean, they've got the dudes. Do they have the linemen to go in?
I don't think they have the linemen to be an SEC team.
But in that league over there,
yeah.
you don't need big behemoth linemen. You're not in the Big Ten. You're not in the SEC.
Exactly. That's what raises the eyebrow right now. If, let's say, Colorado does end up beating BYU in the championship, BYU's a 12-1 team.
No.
What do they do? You don't think they may get in?
Nope.
I don't think they should, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be like that Florida State type thing last year.
So many of these SEC teams. You got the Georgias, the Alabamas, the Ole Misses, the Tennessees, and all these people who I just told you one projection today is Georgia's the 12 seed, the 12 ranked team in one projection I saw today. I think it went Alabama 10, Ole Miss 11, Georgia 12. I mean,
it's craziness in the SEC.
So is BYU better than any of those teams? No.
Absolutely not. I don't even think BYU. I think they're the most overrated team in the country right now.
Yeah,
I
but
really do.
They
keep winning.
They're winning their league, and that's what you got to do. And you're way too young for this because I remember the controversy
84?
40 years ago when BYU won the national title.
Steve Young was on that team, right?
No, it was Robbie Bosco was their quarterback. The legendary story. Now, Michigan was 7-4. This is a 7-4 Michigan team. They're playing in the Holiday Bowl, and BYU went undefeated because Robbie Bosco, their superstar quarterback, he got hurt early in the game, and he pulled. You wouldn't understand the reference. Maybe a Willis Reed. He comes back in the second half, hobbled, can barely walk. He's walking on one leg, and he leads them to a win, and they end up tying with Washington for the championship that year. But they beat nobody. That team beat nobody, and their bowl win was over a 7-4 Michigan team. But yet, they found a way. You know, Lavelle Edwards was a really beloved coach, so there was kind of a little bit of the Tom Osborne thing going on there, where let's give it to Lavelle Edwards.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of BYU this year, though. You know, number one, they screwed me because I picked Utah against you. You picked BYU.
Hate when you've got a pick and you know you've got it? But that was holding. Their AD's losing his damn mind. He held the guy. Did you see the play?
Yeah, I saw the play. He did hold it. It's a ticky-tack call, but it's holding.
It's holding? It called. And then that gave him the ball at the 19-yard line. So,
they still need
to
drive down.
Stop him.
I mean, here's the thing with Utah. You didn't score a single point in the second half. So.
I do not have a problem with what Utah's AD did. I wish. Look, sometimes there really is horrific, horrific officiating. We live in this world where you're not supposed to say anything about officiating. The Bengals last week, Joe, there was holding on the dude at the line of scrimmage on the 2-point play.
Gesicki.
And Burrow got hit in the face on
the
throw.
Two calls that should have been
made. That's two calls that maybe the Bengals win that game. This
the holding
is the
was egregious. The holding was egregious. I mean, he's coming off the middle. I mean, you got to call that.
So sometimes officiating is terrible. I don't mind if we would live in a world where people could come out and blast the officials and you get fined for it. And he got fined $40,000 and publicly reprimanded. I don't mind that, but what ends up happening is everybody hates officials anyway, so we just complain about the officials no matter what.
Yeah, officiating, it's always shaky, but it should never come down to a situation where an official makes the game right there. You need to put the game out of reach right there. Like I said, Utah doesn't score a single point in the second half. that's kind of their fault they lost. I mean, I think it was a kick return, too. I mean, a lot of stuff didn't go their way, but ultimately, it's very rare that a single call costs a team a game. The only one I can think of in my mind is that Saints-Rams NFC Championship game where that cost the game.
That was the put them in play at field goal position.
That cost them.
But see, that holding call didn't cost Utah the game.
No, no.
They put the ball at the 19-yard line.
You saw a drive 50 yards.
Your defense has got to stop them.
Yeah, I mean, it was terrible.
The Saints-Rams, that was the game.
Yes, absolutely. That was the game. There's some instances where, like, last play of the game, the officiating can decide.
Especially if there's, like, a pass interference deep. In the NFL, this is like my Flacco rule, you know. You just, if you're in trouble, just throw it 50 yards, and maybe you get a pass interference, and bam, you're in a field goal range.
Yeah, I mean, it's a field. I mean, it can flip the field just like that. There was an NFL game I was watching. I forget which one it was, but it flipped the field 40 yards. Like, okay, well, now all of a sudden they're in field goal range,
yep,
and
boom,
they got a chance to score some points.
All right, Robin Bedford. Now, this says system already broken. Now, we can go 10 different directions because I got a discussion here in a few minutes about TV and the wideout and streaming on Peacock, and everybody's all pissed off, and Big Noon Kickoff. I'm going to get into all that in a second because that, to me, is the system being broken. What do you got? Why do you think the system is broken?
Listen to ourselves. We're in the first year. And I'm probably guilty of it too. But when it was a 4-team playoff, we just had to, especially the committee. I loathe that committee. Now that it's 12, I'll probably soften up a little bit because they have more wiggle room. But when it was a 4-team committee, it was all about just trying to jam that second Big Ten team in, that cram that second SEC team in. That's all it was. That's all it was for a decade, was you had SEC, Big Ten, maybe the ACC, maybe the Big 12, but you damn well bet it was the second Big Ten or SEC. Now we drop it down to 12. 10, 11, 12, Georgia, Ole Miss, Alabama. It just robs Peter to pay Paul. What if we open it to 24? Are we going to shoehorn Iowa and their decade-long miserable offense? Are we going to try to get maybe just stick your foot, cram Arkansas in there? I mean,
you're no reason to destroy the Razorbacks. They did nothing wrong to you.
Well, they're four-loss team, a 4-24. They're worthy, you know.
No, but what happens?
I'm not saying let all these mid-majors in. I don't want that. But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, this is absolutely the case. And look, Indiana, Nathan mentioned earlier about BYU. What if BYU loses? Are they in or out? Well, they're out. Indiana, if they lose, they're going to lose to Ohio State.
I don't think they're out, though.
But that's the only game they could potentially lose. And then I think their other game is against Purdue.
Yeah,
so they're going to go.
It's going to be the Big Ten prestige that's going to get them in.
Is Indiana? I mean, look.
I think Indiana is a massive fraud, too.
It's a great story. Is Indiana one of the 12 best teams in the country? Come on, no.
No, but I'm softening on them. They're still undefeated. That's a team that's lived at the bottom.
Let's see how they do against Ohio State.
They lose by at least three scores.
I think they lose by close to 20 points to Ohio State, and then maybe we soften on them a little bit.
Yeah, but this year, as good as Ohio State is, they've been a bit Jekyll and Hyde. They've let some bad teams hang around. They've had some slow starts, and a team like Indiana could jump on that. But if you look at the Big Ten, Oregon, Ohio State, cream of the crop, top teams in the nation, absolute threats to win it all. Penn State, maybe, I don't know. You make great points. We don't know who have they played. Indiana, I would lean yes. You got to give them credit for where they're at, especially when you're traditionally a floor mat, a team that's just there to maybe beat Rutgers, and they deserve a ton of credit, but I don't know. Who's Penn State have this week? Is it Wisconsin?
Penn State has
the cream of the crop,
the Purdue junior varsity team. So they're going to win by 9,000 points.
Corey, aside from those four teams, in Illinois, they're a good team, good. But below that, a dozen more? Would you trust any of them to be a legit threat to upset a top? And that goes the same for other conferences, but I'm just saying, offense is pitiful and something that they don't take a lot of stock in that conference.
You know what? I do keep saying that Minnesota, because I've seen Minnesota pull off upsets. I think there's danger in Minnesota. I'm not talking about from a playoff perspective. I'm talking about can they win a game in any given week? Minnesota could. But no, to me, in the SEC, what you have, I mean, you go to South Carolina now, you're going to lose. All right? I mean, that's South Carolina. That's like we think they're the eighth or ninth best. You go to Vanderbilt and you lose. Vanderbilt can actually do some things, although they didn't last week.
Yeah, the only team right there, Mississippi State's the only team in the SEC that really can't compete.
See, that reminds me of like a Texas Tech. They beat Iowa State. It reminds me of, I don't know, you'd have to go down the conference. TCU, that's a team that's kind of Jekyll and Hyde. Baylor will show up. It's just with the transfer portal, I mean, it's just so hard to find a pattern, find a team with consistency. Look at Michigan. If you were a first-time college football, really avid follower, you'd be like, this team won a championship last year. Sure, they got stripped and Washington played them. They're equally as bad. I don't know who's worse, but man, Michigan, they're considered one of the mighty, you know, and they look
I think Michigan is in for a rough patch here, like the Rich Rod years. I mean, Harbaugh leaves. They lose a ton of talent. I don't think they wanted Sherrone Moore.
Sherrone Moore is not the guy.
He's not the guy, but you can't fire the guy. The guy that just won you four regular season games last year when Harbaugh was suspended, you can't fire that guy. So you get – and they didn't even want to give him a long-term contract.
How long is the contract for him?
I think it's for 4 or 5 years, but he didn't get that until like right at the beginning of the season. That to me tells me that the school wasn't sure he was the guy.
I'm guessing he'll be out in 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, year one, both my teams, Texas and Oregon, went into that 115,000 odd so thousand capacity and cleaned their clock, both teams. It was truly rewarding.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Appreciate the call. All right. We have a really fun – well, it's actually not a fun – I'm going to bitch here a little bit. Nathan, on Friday, I did Good News Friday because last week was
a tough
week for a lot of people. So we did Good News Friday. We were positive and optimistic. I'm going to gripe about some things here in a few minutes college football.
Back to old Corey.
Yeah, we'll have some fun with this here in a couple of minutes about the ridiculous finances of college football.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Mel and Chris have meals to go. Hot, delicious, homemade meals served up from 1130 to 2. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy. Or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5:30. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. 943-6328. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn Mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-968-9022. 800-968-9022. 800-968-9022.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Hank FM.
All right, before we get into my financial discussion, TV contracts and all that stuff, Tim from Altoona wants to talk some Michigan. What's going on, Tim? How you doing?
Good, Corey. Hey, I just want to say real quick, and I'll hang up. It wasn't Jim Harbaugh leaving that caused Michigan the issue. It was Connor Stallions leaving.
Right, yeah.
It's a great one.
You think that ever gets overturned there? You think they ever overturn the title because of all that stuff?
No, but something should happen. But I'm not going to hold my breath.
Good stuff. Thanks, Tim. That's funny. I do like that. And I saw in the last day or two, apparently – Connor Stallions is now at some high school.
Yes, I was trying to pull up his record real quick. They were like 0-6 for the first six games. Well, he lost 16-0 in his high school coaching debut.
But the story this week is that he got some kid on his team who was committed somewhere else to flip to Michigan.
This guy. He loves Michigan football. He's made his life work.
Oh my gosh!
He should be the head coach. First of all, he should have a statue on campus.
Well, he wrote that manifesto about like being a Michigan man or something.
It was wild. It was low-key like creepy. It was
more creepy than spending the night over at a recruit's house.
I don't know.
Okay, so here's something that's kind of a big deal in college football this week. Penn State fans fired up about certain things. Ohio State fans fired up about certain things. It's about the TV deal, the TV contract, where they put games, so on and so forth. So you did not go to the Whiteout game, right?
I did not go.
Did you watch it on TV?
Yes.
So you have Peacock?
Yes, I already had it prior. So
I didn't. Okay. I wasn't spending $8 to watch that game because I knew if it would have been – this was my deal. I was listening on the radio. I was following the stat broadcast live. If it would have gotten close like second quarter, I was going to buy Peacock. As soon as Penn State started pulling away, I'm like, there's no way. There's no way this team. So I saved $8, okay? But a lot of Penn State fans are up in arms that the whiteout, one of the premier celebrations in all of college football, was placed on Peacock, a streaming network.
Yeah.
And then, apparently, Peacock did a horrific job with, like, the pregame and explaining the whiteout and all that stuff.
Yeah, the broadcast didn't go on till kickoff pretty much. Nope. There was no pregame. I will say they kept just like, because Penn State was running a little fast tempo and they just kept like showing a replay and cutting off like half the play. So there was the presentation, I will say, was not fantastic on that.
Okay.
So, but I mean, that's just how football, I mean, people are going to realize that the Chiefs and Steelers are on Netflix this year, you know, in a month. They're going to be like, well, why are they behind a paywall? It's the way the world's moving. And, I mean, you can't blame anybody for taking money. I mean, Peacock's...
But that's another... Hang on. That's the separate part of the story I'll get to in a second. Okay. So, Ohio State, their final six regular season games are going to be at Big Noon Kickoff. Ohio State's final six regular season games are all going to kick off at noon on the Big Noon Kickoff. So, there are people at Ohio State that are griping. Joel Klatt. I have a lot of respect for Joel Klatt. He walks a very fine line. I think, remember how I said a few weeks ago, I really don't respect Kirk Herbstreit. Not only Kirk Herbstreit tells you anything. I think Joel Klatt is phenomenal. Joel Klatt will take a stance. He will explain something. He will criticize. He's not super vanilla and Charmin soft like Herbstreit. Herbstreit does nothing for me as a broadcast. Absolutely nothing. He gives me no insight into what the players are thinking. He's just he states the obvious.
Yeah.
He's Captain Obvious all the time. Joel Klatt to me is the best because Joel Klatt will rip your team during the game. While you're watching your team, he'll say something critical.
I agree 100%. Joel Klatt is amazing to listen to. I mean, he ripped Penn State on that.
Right.
And those play calls down the goal line. Like, what are you doing in that situation?
And so, look, that's what I want the broadcaster to be honest. I'm not a fan. See, you're a fan. Some of you out there, you're fans. You want them to kiss your ass, and you want them to tell you how great your team is and how they're going to win a championship. That's not the broadcaster's job. The broadcaster's job is to tell you the truth. I think Joel Klatt does a tremendous job of it. So now Joe Klatt is under a lot of heat this week because he had the audacity to explain why Big Noon Kickoff on Fox is such a big deal. So he sends out these tweets talking about how that Fox saw value in a Big Noon Kickoff. Because, look, forever, noon games have sucked. Okay, you don't put any great game at noon. You know, for Penn State's history, a lot of great games were at 3:30, and then you play the night game. The SEC, all their big games are at night.
Yeah.
So Fox came in and said, wow, what if we did this noon thing, and we started putting these big games at noon? And the ratings have been phenomenal. The games are always really good, but they're starting to take backlash now. Because, again, Ohio State, six consecutive noon kickoffs. All right, well, that's pushing the envelope. And Penn State, Ohio State, where was it?
Noon.
Okay? And I believe if that game's at night, if Ohio State comes to Penn State at noon in 2016, Ohio State wins that game. The wideout helped them win the game. Okay? A noon kickoff, I think, is more of a disadvantage for the home team. But here's where I come in on all this. They signed a 7-year contract, TV contract, for $7 billion. They sold their soul. When you sell your soul to somebody, they get to do whatever the hell they want with you. And so you've got these Penn State fans, Ohio State fans, some other fans around the country are griping about this Big Noon Kickoff and blah, 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 time Penn State being on Peacock, blah, blah, blah. Penn State is going to make $70 million a year with this TV contract. So I don't believe that you can have your cake and eat it too. You can't do both. And so I get it that fans don't necessarily want to see Penn State, Ohio State at noon. But part of what keeps the Big Ten right there with the SEC at the top, the behemoths of college football, is that they've got this inventory. They've got this television inventory that everybody wants to see. The networks know they want to see it. And they found this noon slot that has been a gold mine. And that helped them give them $7 billion for their TV deal. And Joe Klatt even came out and said about Ohio State in one of his tweets, they knew the deal when they signed the contract. So, look, I'll sit here and say that that college football is ruined from a business standpoint. And I understand that fans want it to be like it used to be, and, you know, you show up for a 3:30 game or a night game or whatever, but your team, be it Penn State or Ohio State or anybody else, they sold their soul. They sold their soul for all this. They got their $7 billion, and with that, they are now going to be beholden to the TV networks. So I said a lot there, Nathan. You're a fan. You're a young person. You want to go to the games. If every great game for the history of Penn State football is a noon kickoff, is that going to bother you?
I'm going to say the unpopular opinion. I don't hate it. I really do not hate these noon kickoffs. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, the whiteout not being Ohio State is, I think the whiteout, it sucks whenever it's not the best game of the year. It sucks when it's against Washington when you know, okay, listen, last week they brought all the energy. I mean, there's still going to be energy. It's the whiteout game, all that kind of stuff, but it's not to the same level as the Ohio State game. So it's going to be toned down a little bit compared to the prior week. I don't hate the Big Noon kickoffs because I feel like it gives you the premier game you want to watch in that slot. If this game, if let's say Ohio State, let's say Ohio State, Penn State was at 7:30. I'm trying to think of that night game. What was the night? It was South Carolina and
Alabama.
Texas A&M.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to keep up with both of them. I'd rather have my one big game at 12. Have, like, you know, a good game at 3:30 and the good game at night as well. That's just how I feel.
Okay, but the beauty of the night of the whiteout at night is that everybody gets drunk all day long. You have a significant home field advantage at night, and you have bragging rights, and you have We Are, and you have the whiteout, people thinking it's the greatest thing in the history of the world. A lot of Penn State fans are really miffed now because they feel like their grand tradition, the whiteout, and again, I've been to many, it's an awesome thing. They feel like it was overlooked, downplayed, that it was not a big deal, that nobody took it into consideration. They're butthurt over it. They're butthurt over the fact that their baby was not voted the prettiest baby at the hospital this week, that it got knocked down with the ugly babies.
Yes, I mean, I do think it sucks that traditions like the whiteout maybe aren't the premier game anymore, like the Ohio State should have been, again, like that. I do think it sucks.
Sorry, I just cracked myself up with the ugly baby thing. I don't think I've ever made that kind of reference at all before. But that's the thing. The Penn State Washington, it's not a good game.
It's not a good game.
Well, but just because now they had to make it the whiteout, I guess they had to because Big Noon or Fox took the Ohio State game for noon. And do you want to do now? Does Penn State have to re-envision and do a whiteout at noon?
I mean, you can do it. There's nothing written down saying the whiteout has to be at night. Traditionally, it's at night,
right?
But there's nothing written down on it. You can say, hey, listen, we're gonna bring whiteout energy to noon. They did with Illinois. They technically had an unofficial whiteout against Illinois. They can do that, right?
The bottom line for me is they signed the contract.
Yes. When did they sign the contract? 18
or 19? A year and a half ago, yeah.
Oh, geez. I didn't realize it was that recent.
About a year and a half, 2 years ago?
Oh, geez. I thought it was like 1920. 2019, 2020.
Yeah,
1920. Yeah, back 100 years ago.
Yeah. The $7 billion deal was like 2 years ago. And so this was just part of it, that if you want to sign over the rights to everything for all this money, didn't they have the foresight to realize? And the answer to this is no, but shouldn't they have had the foresight to realize, hey, we might get screwed here every now and then?
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you're Penn State having to start on the road in Big Ten play. Everybody know that story, like 12 games and 12 years in a row and like 18 out of 20 years they were starting. Penn State has always felt that the Big Ten was screwing them with scheduling. So now when you take your $7 billion, you kind of just have to eat your lump of coal or take your lump of coal if that's what they're going to give you. If you don't like a TV slot, well, I mean, you can gripe about it. Ohio State can gripe about it. But Fox can come back and say,
you signed it. Here's paper.
$8 million or 8 million people watching this game at noon on Saturday. Who are you to tell us how to run our business?
Yeah,
profitable. We gave you $7 billion.
It's profitable. It's profitable at the end of the day, and that's what they care about. And listen, I understand it because from a business perspective, it's a smart move. But the best game that on your television at 12 o'clock whenever you're going to have all eyes on it makes complete sense. Now, I will say Penn State fans, they might be thinking differently. Let's say if they get an Oregon at 12 o'clock, it's going to be a 9 a.m. kick for them.
It'd be awesome for Penn State.
Exactly.
Because Oregon, that's how UCLA was. It was a 9 o'clock local time for UCLA. Yes, UCLA not any good. But yeah, Penn State can get Oregon at 9 o'clock or noon and roughly a 9 o'clock scale for their bodies. That's an advantage.
Yeah, there's going to be your advantages. It's going to help. So
unless Penn State has to go to Oregon. Well, it'd be going the other way. So it'd be a different story.
I'm interested if Fox would even put that. That'd probably be because I think they did it earlier in the year with like a BYU game where they did a 3:30 slot.
Okay.
They would have to absolutely, because you can't expect fans to be there at 9 o'clock.
Here's the thing about fans, too. A buddy of mine, Darian Summers, he's from Altoona. He put on, and he's a huge Penn State fan, says, we're talking about fans here, though. Fans had no say in this. Fans had zero control over the TV contract. Admin, sure, but fans are very different than admin here. Well, that's fine, but you don't count. You don't count. The administration, the Big Ten, and school presidents, they didn't ask the fans whether you want to sign a $7 billion TV. You don't count to them. You don't matter to them when they're making their business decisions. Do you understand that? Even showing up 110,000 strong, and you think that you're like the most important thing in the world to this team, they're gonna live their life regardless of you. And if you don't like it, they got 10,000 other fans that would like it. So fans have self-importance and self-righteousness that think that they think they should have some kind of say in all this. Well, Penn State fans, I'm here to tell you that your school is going to get $70 million a year. That's going to keep Penn State at the big boy table. That's going to keep Penn State in the playoff discussion forever. That's why Ohio, that's why Clemson and Florida State are trying to get the hell out of Dodge in the ACC, because they're at $35, $40 million in their TV deal. They're losing $30 million a year to the SEC and the Big Ten schools. They don't want any part of that. They want to get the hell out of there. Well, the reason that the TV deal was great for Penn State, the reason that the TV deal is great for the Big Ten, is that keeps them at the top of the heap. When you're making $70 million a year, you're going to have to eat some crap every now and then. And this is just the reality of it, whether fans like it or not. Dave in Hollidaysburg, what do you got, Dave?
Corey, just two numbers, $111,000 for the Ohio State game and $110,000 for the night out game against
Washington. Yep.
That's all you have to say. Is the fans will go no matter what.
Exactly. They
so
know.
The fans and, yep. the desire for college football is going to be, in the future of college football, is going to be dictated by the money, from players to coaches to everything.
Do you have
college
any?
College football is no longer about tradition. They don't give a you know what about tradition, because the money is coming rolling in. And as you said, it keeps teams like Ohio State and Penn State at the table where the big boys play. And as you said last week, Penn State has $13 million NIL money. Ohio State has, what, $20, $21 million NIL money?
Yep.
It's going to become a money race. And the players are going to get paid. Everybody's going to get paid. And the fans are still going to go to the games no matter what.
Good stuff, man. Appreciate the call, Dave. 946-0435. And so, look, that's where I've accepted it. I know where we are. I know where things are financially. I don't like any of it. So I get that Penn State fans or Ohio State fans or college football fans might be frustrated by some of this stuff. But it's like an all or nothing. If you want all the notoriety and all the prestige and all the NIL money and all the TV money and all this glamour, then you're going to have to make some trade-offs. Trade-offs are part of life. That's just the way it is. But now, you said earlier, Nathan, I'm curious. I want to follow up with this. You'd be okay with noon games for the most part. Now, why is that? Do you just like to have your evenings free?
No. I mean, I watch college football all day, so the evenings aren't free. They're still...
But you can go to the game and still be home and watch it later
Yeah,
on.
Yeah, I guess.
Because here's the thing, a night game...
You're getting home at 1, 2 in the morning.
And that's if you live in Altoona.
Yeah.
Well, you live in Harrisburg or Reading. Now you're getting home at 4, or you're staying in a hotel.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, parking up there is horrendous. You're not going to be out of there until, midnight at the best. You're not going to be out of there until midnight. So, I mean, there's issues with night games, too. I think the night game is a better environment. Like I keep saying, I think you do want the Ohio State game at night compared to noon. But at the same time, first of all, the game's over right away. So guess what? I don't need to wait all day for Penn State to lose to Ohio State. That's a great relieved feeling, as I can get over at 4 o'clock that Penn State actually isn't, a national championship contender and all that. So, I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world. Like I said, it'd be better if they were at night. And Fox, are they able to put these games at night? That's what I'm not under. And they can do it, I'm assuming. But I guess they just want all eyes on them. And it makes sense from a business perspective. That's how everything is in this world now, is run as a business. So,
well, the NFL starts at 1 o'clock and has forever. I mean, people are conditioned on Sundays to watch the big games starting at 1. And Rob in Bedford texted me this: maybe I'm just an old man who appreciates rest more now than ever, but the earlier the better for games. I wish they started in the morning. I went to bed at halftime of the Penn State Washington game. The game was over.
Mm-hmm.
I went to bed at halftime. I was exhausted. I had a long day. Typically, if I was working up there, I'd get home at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I enjoyed going to bed at 10:30.
That's not bad. Not bad to get 10:30, get some nice rest.
When you get to be old, you got kids. You're just like, I got stuff to do.
Well, I'll tell you what, Gus Johnson, I heard, was thrilled with that game. I don't know if you saw that call and that fumble, but he was having a blast that game.
Was he? No. So he was phoning it in?
I'll show you the clip. I'll show you the clip during the break.
All right, very good. We'll take a break. More phone calls, 946-0435. You want to weigh in after this?
I'm Kerry Murphy with your NASCAR Xfinity Series race recap from Phoenix Raceway. Riley Herbst led 167 of the 213 laps to win and dominate the race for Stewart Haas Racing as they close operations.
I don't know. The car was really fast. Davin brought a really fast 98 car. Felt like I executed to our biggest potential. We didn't run away with it. I'm very, very happy that late rate caution come out. So I had to race him on the restart, and I showed that I could pass him on the restarts, and if they wanted to move me, I could move him back. I lost the lead on pit road, still battled back to that, still took the lead, and won the race. So excited to see what Twitter has to say.
It was Justin Allgaier finishing second after battling from early race mistakes to win his first Xfinity Series championship.
And this year, everything we've tried to do together that's been kind of bold and outlier strategy has gone against us. And tonight, that's not the case, right? It's a dumb mistake on my part, followed up by a second dumb mistake. And still to have the wherewithal to get the strategy right, to get us back in it, and to ultimately walk out of here as a champion. I mean, I really wanted to win the race, right? Riley had a really fast race car, but I also, you know, one of the brand employees actually texted me this morning. He said, the only way to have a comeback story is to start from behind. And we've done that all weekend. We've done that all year. And this team is really special.
Eric Almirola was third, followed by Connor Zillish, and Chandler Smith rounds out the top five. You're on the final lap.
Welcome to Staples.
Help! My family's in for the holidays and I need gift ideas.
That's why we're here. Staples has amazing deals on everything you need. Photo gifts, laptops, and gaming systems. Even custom holiday cards and shipping solutions to send gifts to the family that can't make it.
Perfect! Have anything for Uncle Frank? I love him, but the guy is never quiet.
Noise-canceling headphones. For you.
You get it.
Unwrap huge holiday savings at Staples. And right now at Staples, save up to $350 on select computers. Ends 11/16, in-store only.
Oh no, my phone.
Hear that? It's the sound of a skater dropping her phone and smashing it on the ice. Yep, it's definitely broken. But at Verizon, we got you. This holiday, trade in any phone, any condition from one of our top brands and get a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch 7 and Tab S9 FE 5G. That's over $1,800 in value. So you'll save big on three great gifts. Only at Verizon. Service plan required for Watch and Tab. Over $1,800 value based on phone, watch, and tablet. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Hello, I'm Bud Blackie from J&P Auto Mart. Back in 2008, I transferred from the old Bud Mart to J&P Auto Mart. That's right, I've been at J&P Auto Mart selling pre-owned automobiles in Central PA for over 12 years.
J&P Auto Mart is Blair County's largest pre-owned auto outlet. Over 150 units to choose from. Experienced with all types of credit and all forms of income. The creativity to get that deal done.
That's no joke. We're serious about putting you behind the wheel of a quality pre-owned vehicle. So come in and see me, Bud Blackie at J&P Auto Mart.
Apply online at jnpautomart.com or phone 944-5338.
Welcome back to Sports Central. This is Nathan Forlina. We got Corey Geiger as well. Hopefully everybody is enjoying the show today, talking a little Big Noon kickoff along with some Penn State and Steelers, if they're actually contenders or not. But before we get into this last little segment of the show, I'll tell you what goes great with the Big Noon kickoff, Corey. A J.M. Boswell's pipe or cigar.
Damn straight. You can stop on over there, 6481 William Penn Highway, right?
Route 22, you know it. Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday.
Get your
Friday
cigars before you go to the game. Noon, 3:30, night game. J.M. Boswell will welcome you regardless.
Exactly. I think that's what Urban Meyer did right before Big Noon kickoff. He went right down J.M. Boswell's pipe or cigar. So.
Urban liar.
That's why Jewel Klatt and Gus Johnson love it. They love coming to University Park. Jewel Klatt says, oh, it's the best environment in college football. He doesn't mean it. He just wants a J.M. Boswell pipe and cigar.
That's
only
good.
Only reason he wants to come. Only reason he wants to come. 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at Boswell Pipes boswellpipes.com. And remember, there's nothing like a Boswell pipe or cigar. So, Corey, I've got some hot takes for college football. I want to let you know, or I want you to let me know if you think I'm being crazy here, delusional, or if you actually think that's right. But we got a caller.
We'll do a couple hot takes first. Jim, we got Jim in Altoona. Hang on, Jim. We'll get to you in a second. Go ahead.
All right. So my first hot take, I think Colorado's going to make the playoffs. Am I crazy to think that?
What's the rest of their schedule? Do they play BYU?
They do not play. I mean, they don't have.
Do they play? Do they have anybody left?
I looked at their schedule. I mean, I saw. I think it was Kansas on the schedule, Utah, and Oklahoma State. So I mean, it's not a cakewalk.
What does BYU have left?
BYU has,
because that's, they can, BYU controls their own destiny, obviously.
Colorado's too, getting in the Big 12 championship, so.
That's right, so they could play them in the Big 12 title game, right?
Kansas, Arizona State, and Houston is BYU's schedule. So do you think right now, I mean, I think it's going to come, I think both teams win out. Like, I give it probably 50% chance Colorado wins out. I think their playoff odds probably around 20, 25% chance right now, but.
So you think they do get in, or that just you think they've got a really good shot?
I think they do get in.
So you think they're better, you think they beat BYU?
I do. I think their athleticism, I think Shador Sanders is maybe the best quarterback in the league. I still think Cam Ward is, but I think Shador's right there behind him at number two. I think he's incredible. I think having Travis Hunter out there, I mean, their skill positions are absolutely incredible. Even besides Travis Hunter, their wide receiver position is pretty good as well. So I like Colorado a lot. I think they could easily get into the playoffs here. Do you trust Coach Prime?
I just don't want to see him in it. That's
you
all.
Don't? Oh, my. I love Prime. I love Prime.
I think he's terrible for college football. I think he's an absolute abomination. He just throws people away. And I think them having success this year reinforces his notion that people are discardable.
It's gas on the fire.
You can just throw them away, and it doesn't matter. And you can treat people terribly as long as you have some success. And I don't like that. So I hope they don't make it, but if they're playing BYU on a neutral field, Colorado's probably got better skill position guys.
They're in Jerry World. Yeah. Back in Dallas. I saw a lot of stuff saying Deion's going to be the next coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
I think, well, fine, then get him the hell out of college football. Because fine, if he wants to go to the NFL where it's all, I guess maybe, this. I hate to say this, one sliver of me still likes to hold on to the whole tradition of college football and young people and trying to do right by young people, while at the same time, the other 99% of me is like, they're all professional athletes, so whatever the hell happens, happens.
Yeah, all right, so you hope they don't make it. Do you think
BYU will beat them.
All right, another hot take, I think Georgia misses the playoffs. Do you think they end up missing it? I'll pull up the remaining schedule. Obviously, Tennessee this week is the big game, but after that, they're going to have themselves UMass, which will be a dogfight, and then you got Georgia Tech and then
they are not going to play in the. Would they play in the conference championship game? That's the key here.
I mean, if they lose Tennessee, it's.
No, I think that, so. Where's the Tennessee game?
Tennessee is in Athens.
You think they're going to lose in Athens to Tennessee?
I think their offensive line is struggling significantly.
I still think Georgia might win the national title.
Oh, I could see it. I just think they need to figure that offensive line.
This is a program now at home. I think they're going to beat the hell out of Tennessee.
You think? Tennessee's defense is good.
14 plus that they're going to beat the hell out of Tennessee. What's the line on that?
Right now, I believe Georgia's
at 7.
Give or take. I don't remember. Georgia, Tennessee.
That's the one that I would look at it. That's a championship program when their backs are against the wall.
Georgia's minus 9.
9. Oh, my God. Yeah, so that.
I would take Tennessee plus the points there. I think it's a closer game than 9. But I could see Georgia win that game easily. I think Tennessee's defense is a serious problem, especially that front 7. And that's what I think could kill Georgia's, because their offensive line, I keep saying it, their offensive line's playing terrible.
What would kill Georgia is their quarterback is awful.
You think Carson Beck's awful? Or,
He's got 11 interceptions in his last five games.
I'm telling
you. Have you seen that graphic? It's like 3-2-1, 3-2. Like, it's just interception machine.
I'm telling you, he's not getting time. He's not getting time at all. I think that's a big issue. I think he's struggling, but I don't think he's the main issue on that team. I really do think.
Still think right now today Georgia could win the national title. I think Georgia, Texas, Oregon, Ohio State, I think all four of them could win the national title.
Fair. My hot take, I think Notre Dame's the legit contender.
I haven't even watched Notre Dame since Northern Illinois. I was at a bowling alley for that game, and I saw them lose to Northern Illinois, and I haven't watched them since. Are they for real? Do they do things that are for real?
So they have multi-whopped teams recently. Dog-walked Navy. Last week it's Florida State. I get it, it's Florida State. 52-3 in a quote-unquote rivalry game is a beatdown. Their secondary, this Xavier Watts they got, maybe one of the best safeties in the country, maybe the best safety in the country. Ryan Leonard's been playing a lot better. Their run game is popping off.
This schedule is pathetic.
It is.
They beat Ohio, they beat A&M, which is good. Lost Northern Illinois. Purdue, Miami of Ohio, Louisville, they beat by 7 at home. Stanford, Georgia Tech, Navy, Florida State. I have no idea if Notre Dame's any good or not.
They're like Penn State, I think. But I think they're in the same boat. I think they can each win a playoff game. And Notre Dame is probably going to be hosting a playoff game. So you get a team to go South Bend, I get it. It's maybe not the craziest home field advantage, but I think they're a good team. I don't think they can beat those top 4 or 5 teams, but I think they could beat Penn State. I do.
At Beaver Stadium?
Maybe. I think their secondary would give them fits.
Yeah, here's the thing. If you're Penn State, I can say out of one side of my mouth that if you're at home, you should expect to win that game, and you should.
Mm-hmm.
But that game could be against Notre Dame, Alabama, Georgia, or Ole Miss.
They got to hope they draw Boise State.
Because the back end of those, I mean, that's like the toughest 9-12. Boise's the only quote-unquote out there. Because that's like the toughest 9-12 I've ever seen.
Yes. And this goes with the 9-12. I think Alabama's the best team in the SEC. Is that crazy for me to say?
That's crazy for you to say. You think Alabama's better than Texas?
I do. Alabama had 2 slip-ups, and, I mean, they played Tennessee close. I mean, both those games they barely lost. And that defense looked horrendous in the Vanderbilt game. In the game after against South Carolina, they almost fell again. But Jalen Milroe has got his moxie back. He, I believe, had 185. I mean, they absolutely destroyed LSU.
So, again, if they come to Penn State,
I'm taking Alabama in that
game. Okay, I would take Alabama as well. We're going to go to the phone lines. Jim in Altoona wants to talk some Steelers. It's a good segue for our Black and Gold Breakdown. What's up, Jim?
Hey, how you been?
All right, buddy.
Hey, I'm the Steelers making the playoffs this year. You'd asked me that last year. I said, nah, man. The defense can't hold nobody. They can't hold leads. Defense is playing 100% better this year.
I picked them to go 7-10, and then they got a quarterback. And Russell Wilson is legit, man. He's not Russell Wilson from 8 years ago, but Russell Wilson is a legit, I will say it, top 15 NFL quarterback.
He's moving that discussion for me.
He's a top 15.
He's borderline that
to
top 10,
17,
though.
Whatever, NFL quarterback. And you've heard me say this before. You can't win with the 25th to 32nd quarterback. If you've got a phenomenal defense and you've got a top 15 quarterback, you can win a whole bunch of games.
The only thing that scares me about the Steelers down the stretch is I think the receiver corps is not up to par.
Yeah,
I don't.
Fine, but I mean, Mike Williams just caught a touchdown pass to win a game. I mean, if he doesn't have to catch 8 balls a game, he's got to catch that 1 deep ball.
Yeah, and if you have Pickens across the middle or just working the sidelines 5-6 times a game, and that running game can get going. Najee can pick up 4 or 5 yards of carry on those pitches and inside zones.
Hey,
so.
Jim, I'm buying in. I'm not saying they're going to the Super Bowl because they're in a conference with the Chiefs and the Bills and the Ravens. Right. These are really good teams.
When have you ever heard Corey buy into Mike Tomlin in the last?
Never. Not since Ben. I bought into Ben because I thought Ben and their offense was always good. I haven't bought into Mike Tomlin in damn near a decade.
I didn't buy into him last year for a simple fact. He was supposed to be a defensive guy. And if you look at all these other teams, the defense was off the field. That defensive guy's right there talking to them.
Yep. Good stuff, Jim. Call back during our Black and Gold Breakdown show here in 15 minutes. That'll be good. But here it is. I'm not buying into Mike Tomlin. I'm buying into Mike Tomlin staying the hell out of the way.
You think he's doing that? You think he's just letting Russ cook?
I think he's letting Arthur Smith run the offense.
Russ is one of the best leaders of men this league has ever seen. I don't think that's an overreact. Russ is an incredible leader. Did you hear his post-game speech?
Yep.
Incredible. Incredible stuff.
I still remember 14, 13 years ago, whenever it was, when he was at Wisconsin, and I was on a conference call that week interviewing him, and just how unbelievably intelligent, articulate. We talked to lots and lots and lots, and I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of college football players. Some of them ain't got it all up there.
Mm-hmm.
Russ, I remember in that 15-minute phone call, walking away thinking like Derek Jeter's, like, this guy is so unbelievably impressive in everything that he says and does. I loved that Wisconsin team. Monty Ball was on that team. That was a phenomenal team.
Yeah.
That I thought could win one in that. But I remember that. So nothing that Russ does from a leadership standpoint surprises me.
There's a reason he's Mr. Unlimited. All right, we're going to hit the break, and we'll catch you on the other side.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Your feet will thank you.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips and snacks for your party, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks. From Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville.
Hey, Nathan, what do you hope to get on your next test at school?
See, you're screwing me over. I'll tell you why I didn't get that on my Spanish test today. I got about half that on my Spanish test today. So
I just looked at your face. You're like, come on, man.
I was confused at first. I'm like, I see what you're doing. I'll see.
Nathan has a thing of saying 100%. And so he said during the break, I'm going to go a whole show without saying 100%. I know a lot of people that say, oh, yeah, 100%, 100%.
The one caller did.
And so Nathan's like, I'm going to go a whole show without saying it. So
I say it no less than 100 times, I'll say. So we went the whole show without it. So I'm proud of myself for once. So we'll try to continue that. But it might slip out here and there every once in a while.
What's better than 99% on a test?
105%. Get that bonus.
Perfect.
Get that bonus. Perfect.
Gotta get that bonus. All right. Black Gold Breakdown coming up here in a few minutes.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona. Hank is WKMC, 1370 AM.